Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, May 31st, 2024. I have your host, James, with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. In part two today at 3:30, we're going to speak with Reverend Beth Habhager, talk about things going on over at the Moravian Church. They have a community book sale coming up and some other fun stuff we'll get to. But right now, we have some great friends of ours in from Three Bridges Recovery right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Want to welcome in Liz Walter. Liz, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate the time. And we want to welcome in again, Sarah Bristow. Sarah, good to see you.
You too.
Thanks so much for being here, you two. I want to start off right out the gate journalistically mentioning that this is a important topic to me, a very personal topic to me growing up in my family. I grew up with an addict. I grew up with a professional addict. My father was incredible at this. And I'm joking a little bit to try to lighten the mood a little for the audience, but I've been very honest with the audience, not only with when you guys join us, but talking about my father and how there's no scenario growing up that I thought I would be taking care of my 60-plus-year-old father. Never thought in a moment that that would happen. I grew up seeing this man who is the epitome of what I am as a man, and I'm a poor man's version of him, but I also grew up seeing him abuse his body and destroy a body that he built, worked so hard athletically to build up. Heroin destroyed him. Heroin destroyed many years of his life. The scenarios where that usually goes, dead or in jail. Just that's how that usually ends. The fact that he's sitting right now playing with his baseball cards and probably driving my mother a little crazy is a miracle in my family. And it doesn't happen without organizations like Three Bridges. It doesn't happen without a community and support. Everybody needs a hand from time to time. And that's a big part of what this is about. And I could ramble all, next 20 minutes about, recovery and a lot of the good work that's being done. I'd rather talk to pros. I'd rather talk to some people who are really in the now and really in the know of this right now. So let's start off talking a little bit about what Three Bridges Recovery is and the good work that you all are doing.
Absolutely. I can start. So Three Bridges is a nonprofit charity organization that was developed in 2018. And it was the opiate and drug force task team here in Wisconsin Rapids that wanted to make an organization that could help some of the issues surrounding substance use disorder in their area. And since then, we really have grown into almost all of central Wisconsin. One of the most important thing that we do is we hire peer support specialists. So these are individuals that have taken the recovery coach training or the certified peer specialist training, and they all have lived experience with substance use disorder, alcohol use disorder, and or mental health. And so we know that that lived experience and sharing that experience with others helps the healing process. You mentioned community. It is a huge part, is being a part of something to help you heal from your substance use.
Yeah, thank you, Liz. Very well said. Sarah, did you want to add anything?
Yes, something to speak to that. A fun fact I always like to share is I was the first emergency department call for Three Bridges Recovery. I now supervise the program that helped save my life. And I feel like that's the biggest testimony I have to say that peer support works.
It's a good one. It's a good reference. It's a good reference. And I really appreciate you sharing it. I really, really do. I think I not only think it's brave and powerful, but it, like you said, it is very topical. It very really does touch on this and the importance of this. But also, if you don't mind me piggybacking on that, the importance of this in our society, in our community. There is this is a great community and a very understanding one, and one that really does seem to step up where others don't. And I never want to make light of that. But we also know that, and you two know this as well as I do, that there are people out there that there are judgmental on these subjects, or maybe not as open-minded about these subjects as a lot of people are in this community. So a lot of the time when we have organizations on like this, I want to try to reach some of those individuals and encourage them to be a part of the team, if you will, and be on this side, the right side of history, if you will. And one of the things that I think is important to note is your story, Sarah, because you went from that to being a contributor to our community, to being an integral part of things. You do some important work, vital work over there. That doesn't happen without Three Bridges. You are adding to the taxes of our community. You are adding to this of our community, et cetera, et cetera. That stuff adds up to our community and helps the economy of our community. And not you in particular, but individuals that struggle with this disease oftentimes will end up in jail, which adds on taxpayers in that. With Three Bridges, not as many people hopefully ending up in jail and you know, adding to your taxes and those things. So to the individual that thinks this doesn't affect you or you don't care about this subject or any of these things, you are a part of this. Whether you want to be or not, you are a part of this. Why not be on the winning side? Yes. Why not be on the side of things that is making change, that is making things better in our community? Anybody can sit there and point the finger. Anybody can sit there and judge. That's one of the easiest things anybody can do in society. It's also something children do. We're adults. Let's handle this like adults. Let's look out for each other and help each other where we can. Whatever your reasonings are, your reasonings. But please, we encourage you to be on the right side of history with this one. To, you know, when you have opportunities to even just mention Three Bridges, you know, especially if you know somebody out there that's struggling, like, hey, you know, there's this organization that could really be helpful. Something as simple as that could be a game changer for somebody's life.
Absolutely.
You mentioned a little bit of this, Sarah. If you all don't mind, one of my favorite questions and things to do is getting a little bit of an origin story, a little bit of your backstory and how you got involved in this. Liz, you mentioned that so oftentimes people in these positions that are struggling with this disease, oftentimes they have a blind eye or deaf ears to people until they hear somebody who's actually gone through it.
Right.
I mentioned my father before. My father, off the top of my head, four or five people I can think of that he has changed their path mm-hmm. because of his story mm-hmm. and talking with them. My dad doesn't go in there and talk down to anybody. My dad doesn't treat people differently. If anything, he tries to build them up and say, hey, you ain't as bad as me, or, you know, something like that or whatever and everything. I that feels like a big part of this. But that story, that personal story of yours, I'm a little curious about that, and I appreciate you sharing things with us. So, Liz, I'll start with you. How did you get involved with Three Bridges Recovery?
So I guess we could go back a little bit. Growing up, you know, I always just kind of felt different and not a part of. And I actually had a sister that had death by suicide when I was at a young age. I was 12. So at 13, I was running around with all this pain, and I found a substance that I used, and that pain kind of disappeared. And so as my life progressed, I tried other substances, and it progressed more and more. I was able to function for a while, but in the year 2000, 2001, this little pill was everywhere called OxyContin. And I got a hold of it, not knowing that when I wanted to switch to a different substance or come off of that substance, that I would have physical withdrawals. Mm. Such bad physical withdrawals that I couldn't function in my daily life. Mm. So that continued for a good 10 years. And then all of a sudden, these little pills were not prescribed as much anymore, not as much available. So I had to seek other resources so I wouldn't be sick, so I could go to work, so I could do all the things that I needed to do to get through the day. And I ended up trying some harder substances and getting, you know, addicted to those. Mm-hmm. And it progressed even more when my house got raided and I went to the jail for the first time. I was 30 years old. And that was kind of like definitely an eye-opener, but it didn't stop me. It had such a grip on me. Mm-hmm. So I ended up kind of running from the law, and I got a whole year failure to report felony, and I ended up sitting in county for a total of 9.5 months. Mm-hmm. And so I took that time to kind of like reroute my brain and make new positive neural pathways and really choose my family, my children, mm-hmm. choose myself mm-hmm. over these substances and work on the healing process, work on why I was using, because we know that substances are just a symptom of a deeper, rooted mm-hmm. issue. So I did that, and I found my way through the 12 steps. And I went back to school. I got my AOD associates and my human services associates. And then 2020 happened, the mm-hmm. pandemic. Mm-hmm. I had a few years clean, but man, that was just hard because we talked about community. Mm-hmm. And now we're back to isolation. All the meetings that helped me, gone. You know, all my friends in recovery, couldn't see them. And I struggled, but I started a Zoom meeting, and got connected again. But I, like I said, I graduated, but then there was no place to get a job. Mm-hmm. So one of my good friends, Jesse Luer, who's been on your show in the past, he was always talking about Three Bridges. I was like, okay, I'll take this training. Mm-hmm. And it really opened my mind and to all the different pathways of recovery. And I started to be a recovery coach, and I loved it because now I got to connect again. I get to reach more people than just the people that are coming to meetings. And so I've been with Three Bridges since 2020. Started doing jail facilitating, which is like one of my favorite things because, like we always say, we can walk in and walk out on the same day.
Thank you, Liz. Yes. Thank you. I admire you very much. I appreciate you very, very much. And definitely, I cannot thank you enough for your story, sharing that with us and everything. I want to talk with you, come back to some things you mentioned there, talk about. Sarah, you've told us a little bit of your story and the times that you've joined us and everything, but I don't think we've had a chance to really dive into that anymore, any deeper than that. Would you mind sharing a little bit of yours?
Always. So I started out, I was a kid that went through some trauma and found substances to be this profound experience. This was how I was meant to feel. I wasn't meant to feel miserable and sad. And throughout that, it progressed into high school. It started out with drinking and THC and then into high school. Hindsight's 2020, obviously, but I thought through this whole time, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm a high school kid, you know? We're supposed to be partying and experimenting. Until in, this was 15 years ago, I was 15. So I got a bad kidney infection from drinking so much. And I ended up being prescribed Oxy as well. You see some similarities there. Yeah. This was a whole new profound experience for me. This is how I meant to feel. No hangovers, no, I obviously wasn't aware either of withdrawals or anything associated with that. Well, that ended up progressing until the age of 19. I was in college and finding those pills became a lot harder. And I ended up trying heroin for the first time. Whole new profound experience, right? After that, my life spiraled fairly quickly. I always mention this part of my story because I think it was a big turning point for me, but I had robbed Denny's. And after that, kind of went into hiding, came up here to Wisconsin Rapids. I grew up in the Dells area, so came up to Wisconsin Rapids and ended up going to the methadone clinic for a few years. And so I reconnected and started meeting people up in this area that weren't necessarily who I should have been connecting with. And throughout that, I started using meth and benzodiazepines quite a bit. And one day I decided to just stop going to the clinic. And I ended up with some pretty severe withdrawals. I was spending a whole day just twitching. My knees would buckle, I was flinging cigarettes across the room, just full on twitching. And this wasn't my normal withdrawals. And my mom and my sister were concerned. They're like, you need to go to the hospital. This isn't your normal signs. They had already been familiar with this throughout my active use. And my sister came, bathed me, clothed me, and took me to the emergency room, and I ended up having a grand mal seizure in the hospital. I like that you basically mentioned stigma because that's my soapbox. When I had gone into the emergency, I didn't want to go because of that stigma. I was avoiding help because of that stigma. And when I went in there and I woke up from the seizure, I had lost 2 months of my life. It was August, and I thought it was still May. I had received a second OWI in that time that I had no recollection of getting. And when the doctor came in, I had never had a seizure before, so I was concerned. Is this going to be forever? Is this, you know, is something wrong with my brain? And he looked at me and said, you don't have one. And, you know, now I chuckle at that sometimes, but I'm also like, in that moment, I was like, I'm not going to be cared for. I'm not, They're not going to check into everything. They're not going to make sure everything's okay with me. Mm-hmm. I'm just a quote-unquote junkie coming in here mm-hmm. and going to be swept to the side. But they had a recovery coach come in. Mm-hmm. And I've had her permission to share our story. Her name was Megan, and she came in, and she knew exactly where I was coming from because she was in recovery. I think at that point she was about 2 years. I'm getting goosebumps now.
You and me both.
Yeah, I think at that point she was about 2 years into recovery. My mom and my sister had no idea what to do with me. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what to do with me. And her coming in there as someone who didn't judge, I at that point trusted nobody to help me. Yeah. Obviously not criminal justice, not the hospital, not places that you would generally go to for help because there was so much of that stigma. And she came in, she got me connected to detox, and this was in 2018. So Three Bridges had just started, and while I didn't remain completely sober as of that time, that was when I stopped being physically dependent on drugs. Mm-hmm. And that carried into my recovery. So a couple of years later when I got pregnant and didn't have to go through withdrawals, was able to just stop. And, you know, now I just celebrated 4 years on January 14th. Nice. And we're doing it. I had a year after, something that Megan had kept saying to me was, you could be doing what I'm doing one day, you know? And I kept looking, I'm like, I'm about to swear. I was like, there's no way. Do you see me? You know? And as soon as I had that first year of complete abstinence, I reached out to her like, hey, not sure if you remember me. And she was like, I absolutely do. It was basically like a you're hired on the spot kind of thing. And now I supervise the emergency department program.
That's awesome, Sarah. That's so darn cool. I think you are one of the cooler people I've met. I think you are one of the braver people I've met. And that is saying something in my time. I really admire your story. I really admire you being here, sharing that with us. Thank you. It is so integral to what you guys just shared and everything, to not only the story of Three Bridges, but the story going forward of our society. There are many communities like ours that have been affected by different things, different objects, whether it is a like around here, a mill going down and people looking for work and struggling with their mental health and that, and looking for things to make them feel better, or the opioid epidemic, which has touched the lives of almost everybody listening to this right mm-hmm. now. We understand, I think as a society, we understand these things, but it takes stories. It takes people talking to people and being genuine to really get this home to people and to really make that next step. It's interesting because so much of this I talk about with mental health and how much it ties into what we're talking about today too, and going forward. Liz, you mentioned something about you didn't word it this way, but rewiring your brain essentially.
Yes.
And that's something that I can really relate to, where it seems so impossible to some people out there that is something you can do, but it's so accessible and it's so possible for anybody listening out there, whether you struggle with addiction or not. There are chances that you have some mental health issue that might be bothering you or something else, and to understand that there can be a better day is important for everybody to realize out there. This is something that can be done, but it takes time.
Yes.
Both of your stories had integral parts to them. All of it was integral, but key parts to it, to I think our listeners and to me and many out there, of it didn't happen in a day. It didn't happen where you snapped your fingers like, all right, I'm going to be better now. And all of a sudden everything was rainbows and sunshine and all that. It took work.
Yes.
It took time and patience. I imagine not only from yourselves with your own self, but family members, friends, different people involved in your lives. So this is where we talk about community. We talk about the support, that how much that means. It could be the difference of a person, you know, getting better, being a taxpayer, finding a job, all these things, and a difference of them not, and having the patience and understanding of that. There's also accountability from both of you. that's so key to this conversation too, because this is another thing that we get pushback on. Well, I'm not giving this person a blah, 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 all that. First off, I guarantee whoever's saying that is getting some government help, or they have gotten some government help in their day. So I don't want to hear anything about not wanting to take a hand or anything like that, or give a hand or anything like that. Nobody makes it through life alone. So that's key to this conversation. But it's also a big part of going forward here and doing more work and getting reaching more lives and helping more and more people. The understanding that we don't always know what another person is going through. Again, we talk about this with mental health a lot. If I come into the room with a broken arm and a cast on my arm, you guys are going to feel bad for me. You're going to ask what happened. You're going to sign the cast, something like that. If the cast is my brain, is dealing with that, we don't have as much empathy for it. We need to get better as a society to have empathy for these things and have empathy for those situations. We do that, we're able to get to there by people sharing their stories like that, by being brave. So it really does help. And it's also inspirational because it's one more bit of data to tell people, whoever's sitting there and doesn't think that they can grow or they can evolve or change or something, that you can do it, that it is possible.
Yes. A saying I like to talk about, and that has been said a lot, is that we recover out loud so others don't have to suffer in silence.
That's good. That's a good line. That's beautiful.
And you know, taking the shame out of our substance use disorder, out of our addiction, and being able to share this without having, like, you know, worry about what they're saying about us. And it really helps other people come out of their shells and say, hey, actually I've been struggling with this, or I've been struggling with that. I know it took other people coming clean with what they're saying and what they're going through to give me the courage and the strength to talk about what I was going through.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe that anybody has ever been motivated by being insulted or being talked down to. It doesn't do any good. It only helps the person talking, and it doesn't even do them any good because that person doing that kind of thing is oftentimes got plenty in their own wheelhouse, in their own background that could be pointed out to and stuff, but it also doesn't help the process. If you really care about something, if you're really that angry about something or whatever, then get to work. Mm-hmm. Help get this done. Help make this better and everything. Anybody could sit there and whine and complain. Be a part of things at Three Bridges. Spread the word about the work that they're doing over there. When you see events like the great stand-up and improv comedy show that the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater did with you all and everything, that combination, I heard such great things about it. When events like that go on, attend those events. You can help Three Bridges by many different ways. Are there other things we can do as we're wrapping up here that we can do to help and just spread the word about what you all are doing?
I'd really just like to make sure I share about our referral process. We don't need a doctor's referral. We don't need your insurance. It is completely free to the individual. We're just here to support you on whatever your pathway of recovery is. It doesn't have to be specific to 12-step or probation. We are really just here to help. Mm-hmm. And we have access to harm reduction. And we don't even need you to know your name for those things. And if you're someone who doesn't struggle with substance use and just needs some general education, we're open to provide that too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. And Liz, thank you again for the time and everything. Did you have anything else you want to say?
I just wanted to give a shout out to our upcoming event. It's not until September, but it's called Fall Into Recovery. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be in Marshfield.
Yeah. When we get closer to it, we'll definitely be talking about that. In fact, you know what? You guys did too good of a job. You're going to have to come back. I'm sorry, but you're too good. You have to come back sometime before September. We'll talk about the event. And the door is always open for y'all. If you ever need anything, just let us know. Thank you so much for being with us today. And even more big thank you for what you're doing for our community. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
You can find out more about the good work that the gang over there is doing at ThreeBridgesRecoveryWI.com, ThreeBridgesRecoveryWI.com. Also, you can give them a call at 715-424-0403. It's 424-0403. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio.